guys, welcome to episode 134 of Inside the Cage. Good, no mistakes this week like that. Thanks, mate, thanks.
9 out of 10.
Cheers. Yeah, cheeky bastard. How's things?
Bring your introductions.
How's things, alright?
Ah, not bad, man, how are you?
Alright. Loaded with a cold, man, I'm goosed, but alright.
All tested, though.
I've done like, I think I've done 4 between Friday and Sunday, so.
You should be alright.
It's definitely not it.
Your body gets, when you get a cold or a wee flu now, it just fucking, because people aren't out of the house, aren't they? Mixing with folks, you end up getting absolutely fucked up with
it. That's it, man, your body's got no immune system because you've not been fighting stuff off as such, so things just linger a bit longer, that's all, but. I'm alright, man. I don't really mind it so much. I just don't like being no well. It's the knackeredness, you know, the rest of it I can deal with. It's that feeling, it's that shitty feeling that you just can't shake. I mean, the 13 beers on Saturday night probably didn't help yesterday.
A good night on Saturday.
It was class, man. It was really good. It was good, man. I enjoyed it. It's nice to spend time with folk that you don't see very often, so. That's good. What were you even up too much?
Nah, mate, quiet. I had my first beers last night since New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, whatever way you want to look at it. A few beers while watching the NFL last night, but that was my lot.
You could have just waited an extra couple of days and have done Dry January. Why did you ruin it last night?
Because I wasn't doing Dry January.
I know, but you could have, then you could have said you did.
Technically, I was not supposed to be having a drink until her birthday, which is the middle of February, but I decided I fancied a couple of beers last night while watching the NFL, so that was always happening.
I loved watching the NFL last night, man. It made me so happy.
I was disappointed. But anyway, not the worst. I'm not overly disappointed. I'm just kind of a wee bit gutted because I like watching the Chiefs. But there we go. Shit happens.
Yeah, I don't.
I love watching the Chiefs, man. Just fucking
it doesn't make sense to me because your reasoning for supporting some of the teams you do are because they dominate things, and that's exactly what the Chiefs have done the last 3-4 years. And he is, as you called him, a phenom. He throws the ball weird, man. It's really weird.
I just like watching how he fights or something like that. How he fights, how he plays.
He's very different. He's very different from your standard QB. It is entertaining, but I was chuffed for Big Joe, man. I thought that was brilliant. I was really chuffed.
I like Big Joe Burrow as well. I prefer my son player. So you bring a second year of your NFL career and a Super Bowl. I think he's one of the first to do it, I think, or something other down the road. So that's incredible, man. He's a great quarterback as well. He kind of dragged his team there a wee bit of time. So
he did this thing, mate. Sometimes it's a bit like that, though. It's like it's not so much being flashy. I think that's why I don't like Mahomes, because it's the Mahomes show for me. Whereas with the Bengals, it was completely 100% the team. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it's not deliberate with Mahomes. He doesn't go out to be flashy. It's just that what he does is flashy, and it's fucking amazing.
I think it's just the way he is. Listen, mate, it's one of these things. It's just like not liking guys. It's like people don't like Brady because Brady was so successful, but Brady is probably the most placid and the most boring of quarterbacks. I'm not a massive Brady fan.
Nothing fancy about Tom Brady in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that's true. I was actually really gutted last night because also when I woke up this morning, I seen that Jimmy G didn't make it. I would have loved to have seen Jimmy G make it. There's something about Jimmy Garoppolo that he's maybe not the best quarterback in the NFL, but I don't know, man. You kind of get this feeling like he's doing his best. He's trying his hardest. But
if you look at the four that were in the two championship games, he's probably the worst one out of four of them, without doubt. Yeah. So
Closely followed by Matt Stafford.
Probably. I was always going to be the best, the quarterback who played the best won their games as such. So Mahomes had a sort of shocking second half last night. So anyway, let's stop talking about NFL because we could do another show. Football. We could probably talk about rugby. Anything else? Yeah, F1 maybe.
We should just change this into a sports podcast and every week do a different sport.
No.
That's a discussion for another time. Anyway, right, moving on. With no UFC from the weekend previous, we'll have a little look at Bellator. Seen some of it, not all of it. Seen tiny clips of Eagle, we'll mention it. And then we'll look to this weekend when UFC's back. And then we'll do some news and fight announcements at the end. So it should be a relatively quick run through. So let's just get on with it, Mr. Mark. Bellator 273, the crowning of an undisputed heavyweight world champion because they had an interim belt. Bader versus Moldovsky. This did not go how I thought it would. I thought it was actually a really good fight in the end.
It was a really good fight. I was actually kind of surprised where I am, Ryan Bader, a wee bit. I think I said on, if I remember correctly, last week's show, I possibly thought he was on the other side of the hill, going down rapidly. He's maybe found a wee stair lift and it's taking him back up very slowly. But it was a decent fight, mate. It wasn't outstanding, but it was a good decent fight for two half decent heavyweights. They're not anywhere outstanding in the terms of MMA around the world, but they're good heavyweights, and we got a good fight in the end. And I think the fact that a lot of people would maybe argue about who actually won the fight probably shows you how close it was in the end, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I scored it for Moldovsky, but I mean, it was close. It could either way. My biggest thing from it is the size of Moldovsky. He's a big laddie for 6 foot.
Oh, he's fucking huge, mate. He's so wide, it's unbelievable. Honestly, I didn't think he was going to get in the door at one point. He's fucking mad. He's on sideways. That's how fucking big he is.
His arms were mental, mate. I was quite impressed with Bader, as you say, as well. I think was surprised more than anything else. Like, you know, you're thinking 38 fighting a 29-year-old Russian. You're thinking this is only going to go one way. There's no other way this could possibly go. And Bader did enough to get himself, you know, the win. I think it was very close. If it went another way, I don't think MD really could have bothered.
Possibly losing his light heavyweight title, maybe spurred him on, maybe put some extra yards in, maybe done a few extra things during this camp to make sure he was ready for the heavyweight fight.
It's probably more disappointing, that result, from like an MMA point of view in terms of like Bellator MMA. Like, you probably want Moldovsky holding that belt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he's the kind of up and coming guy. He's a younger guy. He's a guy that if he's going to be about move for the next 5, 6, 7 years. If you're going to have somebody involved in the championship, it's going to be him. Ryan Bader's maybe got another 2 years on him. Heavyweights can obviously go a wee bit longer. I thought he carried the weight not bad on Saturday night. Actually, didn't look. I always feel sometimes Ryan Bader looks like a light heavyweight at heavyweight. Does he just look like a small heavyweight on Saturday, if that makes sense?
I mean, I don't know how different his weight was on Saturday from what it normally is. I think he was 235, 234, something like that. Against Corey, that was at light heavyweight, wasn't it? I'm trying to think if it was any other. When did he last fight at heavyweight? My God, when did he win that belt?
It was not far.
Against Fedor, wasn't it?
Won the Grand Prix against Fedor. Back in Bellator 2014.
So he was 227 pounds, so he was heavier this time around, do you know what I mean? So he put the beef on. Maybe he's conditioned himself to be a heavyweight now, mate.
I think that's the thing. I think he looked, I must say, as I said, he always looks like a small, he always looked like a big light heavyweight, whereas I think he looked like a small heavyweight, and that sounds stupid, but he carried the weight better. Maybe there was more muscle on that body and he just looked thicker that way.
He's just a big guy up top, like he's got no legs. He's all like torso. He's a
pyramid upside down or something. That's what he's like.
He's a wrestler, mate. He's a bona fide like wrestler. Like, he's just got that style. Maybe he'll hold it. I've heard that they've announced, you know, a title fight already, and they only won it on, you know, Saturday, or confirmed it on Saturday, you know. So it's
Going back to Paris, A6, Bellator.
A6.
So, fight Congo in Paris, which will be interesting. It'll be for a good atmosphere, if anything.
I think it was just because they're going back there, because obviously the thing with Congo the first time, it was an eye poke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if he can get the win this time. But,
It's a bit disappointing, though, because it's just an older guy in Bellator. They definitely need somebody younger to be couple of younger guys in that division anyway.
Yeah, I mean, 46 years old, Jesus, man.
Is that what Congo is now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Imagine if he won that belt. I don't know if that would be amazing or really piss annoying.
Yeah, I suppose one of the ones. What about the rest of this card? Was there anything? I know we've only you've seen bits. I've seen bits. Was there anything specifically that you've seen that you want to mention?
I thought Henderson Mamadov was a really, really good fight. To be honest, really back and forth, and some really good grappling on the ground. It's kind of wrestler against kind of obviously Henderson's jiu-jitsu is pretty good. So it was really, really. It was always a case of whether Henderson, I think, tried a couple of times for that guillotine, couldn't get it stick. And it really came down to the last round and who won the fight, to be honest. And again, looking back at it, I don't actually know. It was such a tight fight. Fair play to Bellator for that. The actual matchmaking probably between Bader Modovsky and Henderson versus Mamadov was very good. So it was really good for that point of view. And obviously this could be Benson Henderson's last fight as well. It was the last fight on his Bellator contract. He doesn't know if he's going to continue. So it was good for him to go out and win. I love seeing Khabib's face at times when fucking Mamadov was in the fucking guillotine jokes, because he was going absolutely fucking schizo at the side of the cage. It was quite funny, to be honest.
He did seem to get caught quite easy and quite often.
Yeah, it was almost too easy at times to get caught in that. Like I said, Henderson's jiu-jitsu is pretty good, but it was just very, very, very easy. And you can understand why Khabib would be fucking gone down his dinger on it, do you know what I mean? So, that was a really, really good fight. I really enjoyed watching that. It's not generally my kind of fight, but I think because Henderson was going for finishes, it kind of kept me in it as such. It kept me watching as such. I can sometimes get a bit bored of the fights on the ground too much, but... No, it was a really, really good fight, that one as well.
There was some very good finishes on this, by the way. Even the very first one, Sullivan Cawley, Ben Parrish was the guy who burst on the scene and knocked out Edwards. And there was a lot of talk about Christian Edwards, Fabian's brother, remember?
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about him being kind of like this guy, this bit of a dog, you know, and... Your man Parrish knocked him out in 40 seconds. Sullivan Cawley looks like the real deal, man. He looks class, up and comer. And he's only 25, something like 25. I think he trains with Bader as well. So again, he looks really, really good. I was quite excited by him. Best thing on the night was the second fight in though. 21-year-old Lucas Brennan going to 6-0. This boy's 21, Mark. And that, I don't even know what to call that. You and I were talking about it before we came on, and I said it was like an inverted arm triangle choke, but it was kind of like a guillotine as well. It was like an arm and guillotine, but it was on the floor and he was on top position. If you want to see a mad, crazy submission, go and look at that. It was crazy.
Well, considering they're calling Brennan's and Hamasi's the exact same finish, it definitely wasn't.
No, definitely wasn't. They were totally different things.
It was more like an arm and guillotine type thing. That's exactly what it looked like to me. I don't know if that's the technical term for it, but that's kind of how I would probably describe Brennan's finish. Mate, it was a sensational finish. It was so unusual, and it's good to see things like that when you do get a finish, you get that kind of different type of finish, that different type of submission that maybe you've not seen before, or a different knockout, and that's the kind of thing you're looking for. You want to see the kind of different things all the time, man.
I just wish sometimes you get a better view of things and you can see how things happened, because no matter what view you looked at, it was hard to kind of see exactly what happened in there. But yeah, sometimes that's just the way it is. You just don't know how things are tied up. But overall, it was quite good. Gonzalez kicking Sada Wad straight in the head was beautiful.
That was lovely. A good kick with a shin right to the nap. I cut up on you. Done. Good night.
Yeah. A bit gutted for Aidan Lee. He was... 100% two rounds down at that point.
He was losing the fight. Henry Corrales was a big step up for him. And I think Aidan said that just there was a couple of eye pokes and stuff like that even during the fight before that one that basically finished the fight as such. So that would be disappointing that it kind of finished like that. But yeah, he was losing the fight at that point. He definitely needed a finish as such in the third round, you know what I mean? So... And I don't know if he was ever going to get that. So, aye. That's why these things are disappointing, and that's how the fight ended. But there's not really a lot you can do.
Decent card overall.
Happy. It was good seeing Ricky Barzola, by the way. I thought just as well with him. Great finish. Darren Caldwell, former champion as well. Shows me what Barzola's looking to do. Maybe push forward and get that championship tight at some point. You can't be far off after beating Darren Caldwell, because as I said, he was a former champion. So it quite put him right out of that conversation already.
True.
You know what I mean? So that'll be interesting to see what happens with him going forward.
Alrighty. What about Eagle? We've seen bits, things, snippets, clips.
See, Kato's finish, that was pretty much it, to be honest. Never got a chance to watch it on over the weekend. So I remember when you go back and watch it, there was a couple of decisions on it and stuff like that. Kato's, he knew what he had to do against Spong's a boxer, really, and he just kind of took him down and just fucking punched him in the face for fucking 8 minutes, basically. So there wasn't really much to say about that one. Good to see Rashad Evans getting a win after coming back after 4,000 years, whatever how long he's no fought for. Then Ray Borg with a good win as well. Good to see him winning and back on form and such as well. Part of a pretty really, really good fight, so I'll need to try and catch the two fights, I think.
Yeah, buzzing for Ray. I say I've always liked him.
I think everybody wishes Ray Borg the best just because of what he's been through and stuff like that. Not a single person would say anything bad about him. So
literally what I was just going to say, it just feels like the deck was never stacked in his favour. He always seemed to get dealt harsh blows. And I really hope he gets another few wins under his belt. I think was he not out in UAE Warriors, or was it EFC he fought with? UAE Warriors. He was supposed to fight in October, but it got cancelled because of COVID. So wherever he ends up fighting, just want to see him winning. I say I've got a lot of time for Ray Borg. Still 28, he's still got, you know, potentially 10 years fighting. You know, the guys are now going longer than ever. So if he looks after himself, he could easily get back into the big leagues and win himself a belt. See, I didn't see much of this. I didn't see any Rashad Evans. Well, I did see one clip of Rashad Evans. Gabriel Checo had him in something, maybe in a guillotine or something, and then out of nowhere, Rashad Evans reversed it and had Gabriel Checo in a crucifix and was mashing his face. And I was like, yeah, it was class. It was the only clip I've seen of the whole thing. I seen De Castro's guillotine. That was class. I seen one of the knockouts, but I cannot remember which one it was. It might have been DeMarc Jackson. Against Hunsinger. Can't really remember, to be honest. I watched them, because it was on late on, was it Friday night?
No, Saturday, 28th. Was that Saturday? I don't even know what day of the week
it was. It was Friday.
It was Friday, sorry.
So Friday night, I was sitting up late, and I think it was coming through on my Twitter notifications, and I'd click on the videos and watch them, so I'd seen a few clips and stuff like that. But by all accounts, it seems to have done, I'm hearing rumour that it's done really well in terms of logins to their website and stuff like that, so there's maybe a market for.
Khabib's on it if he's going to be interested, and somebody's got, they're going to want to watch it anyway just to see what it's like, especially the first show.
It's going to end up being a feeder. It's going to end up being
an LFA type thing, isn't it? That's the kind of level it's probably going to be at, an LFA Cage Warriors. That's sticky. They're basically kind of feeder leagues for UFC leaders. So
it'll be a kind of thing, like he'll possibly bring over a lot of guys from Russia, although he didn't really in this event. I think that may be a way in for a lot of guys to come across. I mean, there was a few on this, obviously, or guys based over there. Maybe they'll come across with him, and it'll maybe open up doors for them to, you know, perhaps fight for an LFA or a PFL or a Bellator or a UFC, you know what I mean? So, yeah, good for him, man. Good for him. Nice to see him doing something as well, giving back and doing a bit. You know, I know he's a coach, and by all accounts, he might end up actually being a more successful coach than he was a fighter, which is...
There's enough fighters under his tutelage anyway, isn't there? So.
That's true. Alrighty, moving swiftly on to this weekend, and we have UFC Fight Night 200.
Oh, is that?
Mm-hmm.
Nice one.
As far as I'm led to believe, yes, UFC Fight Night 200, UFC...
Double century.
Yeah, headlined by Jack Hermanson and Mental Sean Strickland.
I don't think Mental quite covers Sean Strickland, to be honest.
He's an absolute legend, man. I just love the fact that he just knocks guys out for fun in sparring. Like, you're not supposed to do that in sparring. Sparring is supposed to be that for a reason. He just starts knocking them out. It's great. See, honestly, right, you would say to people, oh, there's an UFC event coming up, oh, who's it headlined by? Hermansson versus Strickland, and they would go, what?
Really? Come on.
See if you think about it, mate. This could be an absolute class fight. Like, and always say it all the time, like, oh, these two guys put together, it's a class fight. But genuinely, right, I'm actually quite excited for this. I've been thinking about it all day. After you said to me, you actually texted me this morning and said, oh, there isn't much on this weekend. And I went, all right, I'll have a look at the card. And the more I've thought about it all day, I love Jack Hermansson, you know me, Scandinavian, I'm sold, that's it. But the styles, I think, are great. Hermansson might be wrestle-heavy, but Sean can wrestle. I just think, and they both can stand him, but I just think it's going to be an absolute class fight, honestly.
It's two guys who are very much opposite kind of ends of the spectrum as such, too. Hermansson will definitely want to look for that takedown, and Sean Strickland will just want to stand there and punch your face. So I think this fight will all depend on whether Sean Strickland can probably stay standing. I know you say he's a decent wrestler as well, but when you've got Hermansson's grappling and stuff like that, I think I'd have a look there just having a look at things. Sean Strickland's last fight, and he actually took a fight in Submission Underground back in December against Andy Varela, and he lost it in the first round to a flying rear naked choke. So
Hermansson did?
No.
Strickland
did. So, it definitely seems to me that as much as maybe he can wrestle, but if he can't keep Hermansson away from his back or keep him standing, I fancy Jack here, to be honest, mate. I do like Sean Strickland. He's a madman. He loves just to punch people in the face, and he does it for fun, and it's just, he loves it. But I think I've got to side with Jack here just to get that finish and get that submission at some point. It's 5 rounds as well, so it's a long fight. And I think at some point Jack will just get the win.
Do you think this is maybe like a step up for Sean Strickland? This is his chance to, if he can get past him. And Hermansson's kind of like a gatekeeper, isn't he, for that top, what, 5, 6 maybe?
Yeah, I would say he's a gatekeeper for the top 5, to be honest. For me, that's exactly where Jack Hermansson is. I don't think he's going to ever really challenge Israel Adesanya, Robert Whittaker, that type of level. I think he's definitely kind of a wee gatekeeper. You get past Jack Hermansson, you're in the conversation. You're in a conversation for a belt or for a number one contenders fight. I think that's where Jack Hermansson is in his career. And I've just got a feeling that Sean Strickland might just fall at the kind of the number six hurdle as such and just not go over it.
I've seen that flying rear naked choke, by the way. See, now that you say that, I've seen that.
Was it good, I take it?
It was amazing. It was amazing. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong, right? I like Sean Strickland, but you look at his record, he hasn't beat anybody maybe as good as Hermansson. So this is my point. It may be a case of, can he make the adjustments? Can he raise his level? And if he beats Hermansson, then fair play, man. He deserves to be up there, no problem. I just look at like who he's fought. And
the only credit where I would give him is he's beaten Brendan Allen, who's a very good wrestler.
Yeah.
I know Brendan Allen's obviously not the level that Jack Hermansson is, but it's still a good level of wrestler. So that maybe shows that he can kind of hang with these wrestlers as such. He can hang with the guys who maybe want to use the jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. So, but we'll wait and see, mate. We'll wait and see what happens. I think it'll be a very interesting fight, and I'm really actually looking forward to seeing how it goes. I think this is obviously the outstanding fight of the card. It's a fucking main event, but you know what I'm trying to say. It's definitely it's a top area fight, and it'll be interesting to watch. It'll be good, man. Looking forward to it.
Oh, so this fight card's actually quite busy. 13 fights is busy, I would say. So is there anything particularly... I mean, we can talk about loads of guys, but give me a fight that you're buzzed about. Like,
Probably the best fight that I'm looking for was Dibada versus Trezano, to be honest. That's probably the one that stands out for me out the rest of the fights. As a one-on-one matchup, that's probably the next best matchup on the card for me. There's some really good guys I'm looking forward to seeing. I think Soriano Maximov will be a decent fight as well, but Dibada Trezano, definitely a standout fight for me. If you're looking for one that's going to be fighting tonight, I think it could be that one.
Do you remember... I totally agree with you, by the way, sorry, I moved quickly on there. Do you remember the Ultimate Fighter final in August between the wee guy Urbina, who was pure mental, and the other guy? He's fighting on this card, the winner, Brian Battle.
Aye, I remember the name Brian Battle. I knew that name. I knew I thought I was going mental when I seen that, but I remember watching that. It was like seeing his debut end, didn't he?
Yeah, excited to see him, to be honest. There's another one about to see, but then actually there's loads of it. There's many Diaz on this. Nick Maximov probably absolutely hate getting called that, but I mean
that's what happens.
You know, that's what happens. Yeah. Puna Haley, Soriano again, another great fighter. Rachmonov, 14-0, always good to see him. But I totally agree with you about Dowdy Trezano. That's one of these fights that's just absolutely brilliant on paper. Another good fight on paper is Erosa Peterson. That could be absolutely class as well. There's stuff all over this card, mate, that's good. Couple of light heavyweight Brazilians early on as well. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm always looking forward to
UFC. It's always good to watch Marc-Andre Barrio as well, man. He's always good involved. He's always involved in scraps. He always has fun fights and stuff like that, and he's always good to watch. And I think that'll be interesting. Obviously, he lost his first three, and obviously he's now unbeaten in his last three. So, it'll be interesting to watch bigger Marc-Andre and Barrio as well. So, there's some good stuff on it. It's definitely it's not an outstanding card for names, but it's definitely a good card for fights.
Yeah, I'm sure. Have we seen Njikani before? Oh, of course we have, because yes, about Chidi.
Chidi Bangman.
He's not called Chidi Bangman, it's Chidi Bangman, which I think is quite good. It's the same thing, but we've seen him before. We've seen him, it was Bellator we've seen him, that's what it was. I knew there was something in my head that said it wasn't UFC, so that's quite good he's coming to UFC, but...
you've been beaten by Kosakov, Salter and Carvalho, and then you're coming out and you eventually get to the UFC. That's fucking good going, by the way.
Yeah, especially that's when he's only had two wins, and one of them was in the Contender Series, but then it's all about the Contender Series, isn't it?
If you're in the Contender Series and you do well and you do something special, then you'll get your contract.
Alrighty.
Definitely, mate. There's some good stuff on it, so it'll be good to watch. Rachmanov's obviously a fucking future superstar champion, so.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see, but he's fucking sensational, so.
Yeah, he kind of is. We'll see. But we'll go away and see how he gets tested further up the road, you know?
No, I know, mate. I know. He'll get there and he'll just do it slowly and then go on for that. But good stuff on this, mate. I'm kind of looking forward to it. It should be decent. But it's probably better now to set and look. With it. See, that way you have the discussion I put in, you talk about fights, and you get in amongst that a wee bit. You go, fuck, but man, there's actually some better stuff on this than the initial kind of first look takes you.
That always happens, mate. You and I, sometimes I'll ask you to ask me, and I'll say, there's nothing much on this card. And then we start talking about it, and you start getting excited about it. It always happens. So, yeah, it's all good. Right. Now it's time for the news.
Let's do the one for us. Let's be honest. Let's start with us because this is the UK. There's an event coming up soon in the UK, in London. Let's start with it. A few fight announcements for London. Obviously, we announced a couple last week, but there's been a few more announced since then.
Before you start, right?
At me.
This is the best. Hold on. Let me just big this up because it's not just only the best UFC card. It's not only the best MMA. This is the best combat sports card ever put together. There you go. How's that? Your face there, like.
To be fair, I was wondering where the fuck you were going with it.
Nah, listen, it's a very good card. I was just playing, mate.
It could possibly be the best combat sports card put on in the UK.
Mate, we can't be far off.
There can't be many better than this when you look at the list of fighters that are on this card because it's been exceptional. In the last week, we've done our four fights announced, I think, as well. So, mate, it's looking pretty.
I'm sure I counted it beforehand, and I think there was two fights where there was no British representation, still the same. But even then, technically, Gunny Nelson fights at SBG Ireland, so we could maybe grab a hold of him.
Gunny, is that what you're saying?
We could maybe grab Gunny. I am up for that. But literally, of those two fights, you've got Gunny Nelson, Claudio Silva, and you've got Abdurakhimov versus Pavlovich, which, by the way, just as a side thing, is absolutely beautiful.
That's a tremendous fight as well, that, by the way.
Anyway, I'm ruining your news. Go on, tell me.
Right, okay. So the four fighters have been announced in the last week and have been now been added. It's a couple of guys probably wanted to be added. Obviously, you just mentioned Gunny because that was only announced last week. So Gunny Nelson will make his return against Claudia Silva at UFC London. We like Gunny. We've seen Gunny since our very first event. So he's always one we've been keeping an eye on. So it'll be good to see Gunny back. Was Nat Wood on it previously, or was this fight just a brand new fight?
No, I think Wood was one of the ones that was on it early days.
Was he? I couldn't remember. Anyway, so Nat Wood has a fight against Ludovic Chelanian. Are you giving me that? I think that's not a bad pronunciation.
Chelanian, yeah, no bad.
Thank you very much, mate. So he will now be on that card. Obviously, he's a native of London, so he'll be fucking buzzing to be on that card. Obviously, the fact that Paddy Pimblett was on this card was the worst kept secret in the whole of world MMA, I think, was horrendous. So so Paddy will fight Kazula Vargas. No idea who the fuck that is, but anyway, so Paddy is on the card against Kazula Vargas. I think just for the walk-in, I think that'll be absolutely fucking stupendous. Especially if there's plenty of Scousers in there, you know, as well, man. It'll be fucking amazing. But the main one for us, Scotland's very own Paul Craig, will be on the card, and he'll face Nikita Krylov, and I'm saying that with a wee bit of disheartened voice, I think, to be honest. I think we wanted better for Paul. We wanted a bigger fight. We wanted maybe a fight further up the rankings as such, something that would push him on further up. Obviously, Nikita's a couple of places ahead of him in the rankings. Just lost to Ankalaev. Yeah, I'm a wee bit disappointed with that fight announcement, but at the same time, it's still a good fight.
Yeah, but it's also, I think, stylistically, it's dangerous for Craig. Like, I don't know, that big, tall, rangy kickboxing style. I don't like that style. I don't like that style against Paul Craig.
I suppose it's just always the thing, isn't it? Can Craig get him doing and just fucking... He'll literally get in the grass, just fall backwards and see what he can do and just try and fucking pull something on for the back.
I still have faith in the big man. I just get so distracted. This card is just legit insane, mate. Like, we're obsessed with the UK-based fighters, right? Obviously, you've got Tom, you've got Mike, you've got Jack, you've got Paddy, Arnold, you know, Paul Craig, right? But see the guys they're fighting? Timur Valiyev, mate. Like, Timur Valiyev is that's for Jack Shore, that's a crazy fight. Okay, you and I have seen Volk. Did we see Volkov last time in London, or no?
Yeah, I think my dad, he fought, who did he fight? My dad, because remember it was supposed to be somebody else's headline and they had to pull out. His town was supposed to be headline and Till pulled out and then they ended up having to get a full new fight.
Aye, Verdum.
It was Verdum, that's exactly who it was, aye.
Yeah. So we've seen Volkov, but even Volkov coming to London, you know, you get Dan Hooker. I mean, I never ever thought I'd see guys like this.
I thought you'd go to America to see a Dan Hooker, to be honest.
Obviously, it's no guaranteed yet, but hopefully the plan is to try and...
Possibly get there.
Possibly get there, but
I'm not getting too excited.
No, I'm trying to read it in. Most excited for, you know, lots on this card to say about Mohammed Makhachev.
Superstar, well, absolutely but, going to mash the racist.
Right, he is going to mash. Well, yeah. Obviously, we'll proper preview. We might actually have to do a preview show for this on its own.
It's a sensational card. I've really. Touch all the wood that this room I'm currently in that we get a ticket, because this isn't even going to be fucking like hen's teeth. This is fucking worse than that. A rotten horse's shite. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be really, really hard.
We've given ourselves every chance. We've given ourselves every possible chance we can. So if we don't get them, at least we can say we've tried. But it will be a case of all hands on deck. As long as you've got Joyce on helping us, because she's a miracle worker at getting tickets.
I have faith in myself, mate. Don't worry about that. I'm quite good as well. I'm all right, Cam, didn't you? What's that all about?
I know, but you know what she's like?
No, I know. Anyway, it's a sensational card. That's three or four. and our tremendous fights being announced for it as well, mate. So it's just stacking up to one of the deepest, best cards that probably UFC have ever done, to be honest. If you think about an event, there can't be many deeper, many guys who are involved in.
It kind of takes me back a wee bit. Do you remember where the fuck did they host it in Brazil? Remember that Brazil card from a few years ago? It was at the start of the year. It was our card of the year all year. Do you remember? Where was it from?
I remember it.
It kind of reminds me of that. It was stacked full of Brazilians. We were buzzing for the card, and then after it, we just couldn't shut up about it. We kept coming back to it all year. Oh, it was good, but it wasn't as good as blah, blah, blah. I cannot remember for the life of me what that was.
I want to say Sao Paulo, but I can't remember.
It wasn't Sao Paulo, mate. It was somewhere different for them, I'm sure. I'll figure it out, but it reminds me of that because that was such an awesome card. At the time for us that we were just like, oh man, but yeah, class. We're looking forward to it, man.
Right, let's move on to some other fight announcements, shall we?
Yep.
So we've got, looks like Donald Cerrone will fight Joe Lauzon, so I wonder if this is going to be his last hurrah, what do you think?
Joe Lauzon?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm actually surprised Cowboy's fighting again. I don't know why. I just didn't expect to see him again. When I seen the fight, I went, oh, for fuck's sake. But anyway.
Yeah, that's a strange one. But that is what it is, mate, isn't it?
So that's the end of April. I'm not even going to bother that one because you'll just make a face at me.
See ya. Yeah, yeah.
Misha Sirkinov versus Wellington Turman.
Fuck off.
There we go. I didn't even get a face. I got a fuck off. Andre Munoz, obviously seen him. He was, is that the boy who was our submission of the year last year?
Who?
Andre Munoz.
He was up there.
Anyway, he's fighting Uriah Hall, so that's a bit of a step up in the rankings. Do you know what I mean? That puts him right up.
Fortaleza.
So it was Fortaleza. Well done. Is that you just spent all that time just doing that and listening to me? Is that what happened?
Mate, just listen. Just I know I'm going back to me, but just listen to the top three fights on this card. Marlon Moraes versus Rafael Sunchow, Jose Aldo versus Renato Moicano, Damian Maia versus Lyman Good, and Charles Oliveira versus David Taylor. That's fucking mental. It was just, sorry, I just had to get out of there. That's what I'm feeling like. I'm feeling like this is like going to be our Fortaleza. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think it'll be far off that, mate. I think it will be absolutely superb. Event. Well, so we've got Jessica Andrade versus Amanda Lemos. We were surprised with that. I know it's a main event as well. It's actually hosting, it's the headline of a main event, a main card.
Yeah.
I was the same. I kind of went, really? Is that what we're getting? And also on the card is Tanner Bosa versus Rodrigo Nascimento. It's just a weird, weird one. I don't understand that, but anyway.
Never know, mate. It might change.
It might. Chris Curtis is getting a good wee number, by the way. Good wee knock, wee good fight.
Who?
Chris Duplessis. Chris Curtis.
Oh, Chris Curtis. I was like, who did you say? I thought you said Chris Patterson. Dricus Duplessis versus Chris Curtis is going to be fire, man.
That's a good step up for Chris Curtis. I think that's a bit of a. That's a bit. Congratulations. Well done for your performances. Here's a step up.
I think they're both probably on like kind of roughly the same level, to be honest, mate. Like Duplessis and him, I think that's quite a good fight. Like actually, as a matchup, I think that's quite good. That'll be class.
Was you think about it, but Duplessis actually meeting Roberto Soldic ago, or basically waxing lyrical about.
Wait, Duplessis beat Soldic?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So I think that probably. Aye, I could maybe step too far for Chris Carson, but you never know. What else do we have? Well, just a quick one. Bellator London, obviously, in May. Robert Whiteford will now be on the card.
Hey, fab.
Daniel Vichel, which is actually a good fight for him.
That's a pretty, pretty good fight for Rob. Yeah, absolutely, man.
It's a very good fight for Robert Whiteford. So once I seen that, I thought, I've got to do that, man. You've got to represent the Scots, haven't we? So we've got to kind of go with them. What else do we have? Headlining on April 16th, we have Vicente Luque versus Belhel Muhammad 2.
How did I miss that?
I thought the screen froze there. You took a fucking wee second there to fucking get back to me.
Oh, that's that'll be class.
So we've got that April 16th. So aye, that'll be a class main event, man. That's a proper fucking, maybe, I don't know. Is that a number one contenders fight? Is it up there? Is it?
Well, Muhammad, yeah, probably, but Lookie, I suppose, yeah, why not?
It's up there, mate, when you think about who has been pumped. He's pumped fucking Covington twice. If he beats Edwards the next time around, he's beat him twice now. But it's maybe Gilbert Burns. That's literally all that's ahead of Lookie and Muhammad at this moment in time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
I've been hearing rumours about him stepping up and fighting Adesanya, but
yeah, I know. I heard the rumours as well, but I think there needs to be a hell of a lot of money put on the table for that to happen.
That's exactly the rumour I heard. Can happen, will happen, but some bastard needs to pay up.
Somebody needs to pay a shitload of money.
Fair enough.
To make that fight happen, and I'd be fucking willing to pay. I'd pay a pay-per-view for that.
Mm.
I would actually pay £20 for that fight. There's not many fights I would pay £20 to watch, but that would be one of them.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you.
So, aye. What else have we got? Obviously, Burns versus Chimaev is kind of rumoured, but it now looks like it will happen April 9th.
Oh, that's a shame for Big Gilbert, man. So, I like Gilbert Burns
also,
as well.
Also, we just talked about welterweight contenders there, weren't we? So, there's another one steamrolling in his way through.
Does that put him right in the conversation straight away?
Well, it has to. Considering we've just spoke about the lack of contenders really within the welterweight division now.
Yeah.
Possible. Well, here's a scenario for you. The winner of Gilbert Burns versus Chimaev versus the winner of Muhammad versus Lookie for some sort of interim belt because Usman disappears to fight the middleweight champion.
It does seem like that's exactly what they're setting up, does it not?
That just seems perfect. That seems like a wee perfect scenario.
What happens in this situation all the time is you think you know what the UFC are going to do, you think they're setting up for something perfect, and then they take a fucking left turn and go wherever the fuck they want with. So, who knows, mate? Who knows?
I think it's a perfect scenario. Obviously, the Edwards Usman fight's got to happen as well first, but I think that's a decent wee scenario to look at. Chandler Ferguson pretty much going to happen. It's just a case of getting it all fucking tied to knots. Dot the I's, cross the T's and all that jazz.
Chandler who, sorry, I was coughing.
I heard that, Ferguson. Chandler versus Ferguson.
Oh, yeah, Tony, yeah.
That'll be Tony's fucking burial, probably, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, because Chandler's hard to put away, and I think Tony Ferguson struggles with fights like that, I think. I did not know that Rob Whiteford was 38.
He's quite old, mate. I remember he did it a couple of years off, didn't he? He kind of disappeared for a couple of years as well, obviously, with his kind of personal problems and stuff like that, and different bits and pieces. Right, I've got a wee weight one. I don't know if you see the weights for UFC 270 on the night.
No, I heard about this. I never seen it.
So, Francis Ngannou gained £3. Fuck all. Right, he literally looks like he had a drink of water. Cyril Gane lost weight. He lost weight getting out of the fight. He went from 274, it's £2, right? He went from 274 to 245. He clearly went for a shite and came back, and that was fucking it. Do you know what I mean? That's clearly all he did to prepare himself for the fight.
That's pish, mate.
Whereas, Davidson Figueiredo,
mm-hmm,
with £124 for the fight, went and ate a fucking cow and came back £143. He put on 15.5% of his weight.
That is not healthy.
And because it's in California, the state commission, the rules they passed back in 2019, they will recommend that fighter moves up if you put on more than 10% of your weight on the night.
That, mate, to be fair, see when he weighs in, he looks horrendous.
But see when you look at the amount of fighters on this card who weighed more than 10% than what they weighed on the thingy. So you had, what else did we have? Cody Stamann put on 17.3% of his body weight. he weighed £135, obviously, for the weigh-in. He weighed £159 on the night of the fight.
He brought like £70. What did he eat?
When's the official weigh-ins of Friday? The official weigh-ins are the Friday morning, aren't they?
Aye. So in 36 hours, Cody Stamen put on nearly 2 stone.
That's just no right, mate.
What other ones have we got? Michael Morales went from £170 to £190. Trevin Giles went from 170 to 182. There was actually, I don't even think, was Cody Stamen the worst? I've seen somebody else worse than that, I'm sure. No, he was the worst, sorry. No, the other one was 16%. Simon Oliveira went from 136 to 158. I think pretty much 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 women as well. Silviana Juarez, remember the last who got choked out after knocking Demopoulos,
yeah.
Well, she weighed in 115 for the fight. On fight night, she weighed in at £132. And to be honest, she looked £132. She looked like a big girl.
This is the thing. It's funny like this comes up, right? Because I was actually thinking about this when I heard the Gunny fight. Because, you know, Gunny walks about at 170. I think the most he says he ever is 175.
Right.
He's walking around weight, so he only ever has to use. Aye, he only ever has to lose 3 or 4 pounds.
Aye.
To get down to weight. He's an advocate for it being extremely dangerous and not healthy. And I agree, mate. It shouldn't be like that. It just shouldn't be like that. It has to be something you use. That's not healthy, mate. Never mind being you wanting to be the biggest you can and try to get an advantage, right? I don't even care about that, because at the end of the day, everyone wants a sporting advantage. Everybody wants to. You know, you wear the grippiest gloves in the NFL, you wear the most expensive boots in football, you always want an advantage, I understand that. But it's more from a health point of view, like looking after yourself. Like, it's just can't be good for you.
How can that be healthy for Cody Stamen, having put on 2 stone?
In a day, mate. In one day.
In 36 hours, what the fuck did he eat?
No, even 36 hours.
Oh, it probably was.
If he weighs in at 9 o'clock, right?
And he does fights at 9 o'clock.
It may not be fine at 9 o'clock, because the main events and all that are on at 9 o'clock, not at 10 o'clock. So.
Well, he was fourth on the card. He was fourth at the end.
So you're maybe talking, okay, maybe 30 hours, maybe 32 hours, something like that. It's still basically just a day and a bit. But half of that, you're sleeping. So you take out the 8 hours sleeping, it's still a day. It's still a full. I mean, it's disgusting.
To be fair to Michel Pereira, he was the one that actually surprised me, because he also weighed out at 170, actually only 184 on the night.
Mm.
He still put on a stone, but
it's still ridiculous.
If Michel Pereira, for me, looks like he weighs about fucking £200 on the night, do you know what I mean? So anyway, when I seen that, I've seen the California State Commission had released the information. I thought, when I looked at some of the percentage, I thought, you'd fucking love that. You'll fucking love a rant about that, so I had to bring it up.
Yeah,
some of it was just fucking mental, mate. I couldn't believe some of the differences.
See, I think they all should be made to move up if you're over. I don't think it should be 10%, mate. I just don't. The UFC has to look at it. I think you would get better fights, because sometimes you have a bad cut.
I think there's always going to be a weight cut. I think 10% is fair enough. I think basically if you weigh in more than 10% of what you weigh in that Friday on fight night, you should not be fighting.
But 10% still off stone for everybody above Bantam. In fact, Bantam, £13.5. Everybody above Fly is in fact, fuck, everybody is basically a stone. That's no healthy, mate.
Unless you fight, well, if you fight a heavyweight, you can put on technically 10% is 26 stone. That's 2 stone, nearly.
We've talked about the fact that the jump between light and heavy should be, you know, there should be another weight class in there. But I just think look at the ONE Championship thing. The ONE Championship is one of these organisations, again, you don't get bad fights. You'd never get bad fights. The guys are all healthy because they've got these strict rules on weight cutting. It should be the same thing.
No, I know. I know. I think we've definitely got to look at it going forward. I think there's always going to be some sort of weight cutting. I don't think we can ever take that out. I think that's what you've got to kind of look at. And I think if you're looking at a percentage thing, like how the California State Athletic Commission, I think it's a very good idea. And I think if you can, like, you're only weighing in a percentage of say 5% over what you've weighed in at the morning before, I think that's not too bad. I think it just depends on what this kind of scale is going to be, because I think you're always going to have weight cutting. People are always wanting to go, even if you like Cody Stamen. Can you imagine Cody Stamen fighting a fucking lightweight?
No.
No. So he's too wee for starters. He's just tiny.
But it's just the way he's built. Then maybe he's in the wrong sport. I know that's harsh.
He's a wrestler. That's what he is. He looks like a wrestler.
I know that's harsh, mate. But it can't be good for you. Honestly, it's for their own safety.
Let's end with some really bad news. Jan Blachowicz versus Alexander Rakic has been pulled.
I know. I heard.
So that will not be the headliner for UFC Columbus. Now you're the new headliner for Columbus. So, that's some really disappointing news, I think. Yeah. I'll be interested to see what happens with that going forward. Because obviously, you'd Rakic fighting for your light heavyweight title towards the end of the year. So that might put a wee bit of a pullback on that as such. Do you know what I mean? So.
Depends how long the delay is. If it delays a month, it won't. But if it delays like 3 or 4 months, then it might. But Rakic just needs to fight. I think Rakic needs to fight and needs to fight soon. But yeah, it's not up to me. I don't make those decisions.
The only other really probably big fight on it is Kai Kara-France versus Askar Askarov, and I can't see that headlining it. So I think they'll definitely look for something else to headline that card. I think it's a decent fight, but I don't think it's a headline fight. Do you know what I mean? So
no, but then we've seen worse. So
well, that is very true, my man. That is very true. Right, that's you. That's me done.
Boom. Well done. Thank you very much, my man. Okay, listen, guys. Thank you, as always, for listening. We do appreciate the love. I'm going to do that thing where I beg again. Apparently, I read some stuff about the Spotify ratings, and we need at least 10 people to have given us a rating on Spotify. So if you listen on Spotify, you haven't clicked those 5 stars, please do so. It would be very much appreciative. It helps us show people that, you know, what we do is good and people like it. So if you like it and you think it's worth the 5 stars, please do that for us. We'd very much appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Catch you next time. Have a good one.